So it started again. The Rough Riders have played their first game in the 2016 CFL season. I love this. I have to admit, I'm very hopeful. I know they lost on Thursday. I watched the game, but I'm very hopeful. The team looked generally pretty good to me. Just a few things got to come together. I think they'll be fine. And we've got to pray hard, of course. But otherwise, I think it'll be just fine. Now, it's always fun to be watching football. And it always strikes me that there's so much more going on in the game than we at first realized. I mean, yes, there's the 44 players on the active roster, and they're doing their thing. But behind them, there's all of the coaches and all of the support staff. You look at the sideline, it's filled with all kinds of people. But it's not only that for a home game. Because if you've ever been to a home game or watched one on TV, you can hear it quite clearly. That there are another 30,000 or so people behind the team. And in fact, these 30,000 or so people have a real effect on the game. They have a real effect on what's going on. I've been to a number of home games in person, and so I've seen this happen a few times, actually quite a number of times, that the 13th man, the home crowd, and no, I will never bring up 2009 ever again, still hurts. The 13th man, the home crowd, has a real effect. You know, and in Regina, it seems that the people really know when to shout at the top of their lungs and when to stay quiet. So when the offense is out on the field, you can almost hear a pin drop. Everyone is super quiet. Let Darian Durant make his play calls, let his players hear what's going on, let them have success. And then the opposite when the defense is on the field. Scream at the top of your lungs to disrupt Ricky Ray, which they managed to do for one penalty on Thursday. Disrupt the opposition. They can't hear each other think. Their timing gets off. And there's a real effect that the crowd has on the game. In addition to just the players and the coaches and so forth. A real effect that the crowd can have on the game. Now, Jesus and the disciples. Yes, I will make a connection here. No, Jesus had his proclamation of the kingdom, and he had his inner circle of people that was with him. He had his apostles who were with him, and he was training them and gathering together to proclaim his kingdom, especially to proclaim him once he had risen from the dead. But what I find so amazing and fascinating about the gospel today is that he took that ministry and he extended it. He extended it to beyond just the inner circle. He extended it to, in the translation we just read, the 70. The 70 who were sent forth to proclaim the kingdom, to carry out his mission, basically. Well, I was reading what Pope Francis had written a few years ago about this gospel. And he made this connection. I really quite think this is appropriate. He said that the 70... it stands in place, yes, even today, of priests and deacons and bishops and sisters and so forth. But it also stands in the place of the church as a whole. Everyone who's baptized. If you are baptized, you are part of this larger group. You're part of the 70. I'm part of the 70. We are part of this group that Jesus has commissioned to go and proclaim the kingdom. As the saying goes, and I think I've said this before, that the church does not have a mission, the mission has a church. And we're part of that mission. We are the 70. So the mission that he gives, it sounds simple, but it's far-reaching. He says, go to place and announce peace. And bring healing with you. This is all the mission of Jesus. The mission of mercy. Proclaim peace. Bring healing. Proclaim the mission of mercy. But when I think about that, there's a couple of things that immediately come to my mind. The first one is this. Because we are commissioned to proclaim this peace, to proclaim this healing, to proclaim the kingdom. But we can't offer what we don't have ourselves. We can only proclaim peace and mercy if we ourselves have encountered mercy. If we ourselves have encountered Jesus Christ who brings his mercy to us. We can't give what we don't have. And this is a work in progress. You know, I can't say that I've got this perfectly. None of us does. But we proclaim mercy because, first of all, we ourselves have been touched by mercy. And as we have received mercy ourselves, receive that peace that only Jesus can give, and again, we grow in this, then we're sent out. We're sent out in all humility. It's not like we're going out into the world proclaiming that I have all the answers and I'm perfect and therefore you should come and join us. If you're perfect, by the way, let me know because I got a job for you. You can come up here and preach next week. You'd be way better at it than me. But no, we're doing this in all humility. None of us has it all together. But we've met the one who does. None of us is perfect, but we've met the one who is. We all have a need for mercy, and we've met the one who brings mercy. And that's who we're proclaiming. It's like, I've met this person, and he's changed my life, and he has changed my life. And I want you to know him. He's done amazing things for me. He's brought me to forgiveness again and again. I think you should meet him too. See, it's not that we have all the answers, but we point to him who does. And so the 70 who were with Jesus and who were being formed by him, maybe didn't have everything all figured out for themselves. I'm sure they didn't. But they were commissioned to go out and to proclaim him and his kingdom, his peace, his healing. So they were sent out into a particular mission field. And Jesus warned them, this mission field won't be an easy place to go to. You know, I send you like lambs out into the midst of wolves. We too have a mission field. It's not always the easiest thing to be in, but we have a mission field. The mission field maybe isn't a far-flung country, the other side of the Mediterranean Sea. Probably not. The mission field is where we are now. The mission field of our families, of our households, of our schools, of our neighborhood, of our community. A mission territory that we enter into in all humility because we've been given something and we want to share that. It's helping raise our children in the faith. Which is not just for parents, by the way. It's for all of us. You know, the saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child. Very true. It's for all of us to pray for and to support, especially our young ones. And the mission field is also standing up for what is right and just. And I have to think of this now that our country has turned 149 years old. You know, there's one example I'll call to your attention from a couple weekends ago. Maybe you heard about it. It was on the news. Quite amazing thing. Our bishop, Don Mullen, and then there was a parishioner from here as well, Brad Johnner, and eight other people. And what they did is that in order to raise awareness and funding for those who are homeless in our city, and especially for those who have been afflicted with HIV/AIDS in our city, they underwent to be homeless for 36 hours, going out into the mission field, raising awareness, proclaiming the dignity of all people, even those on the streets. Tremendous, unfathomable dignity of every single person. And as this country turned 149 years old on Friday, another thing comes to my mind. And there's a great letter on the blue sheet that's in your bulletins this weekend. Definitely pick it up and read it. It's from the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's about the fact that our country has legalized euthanasia and assisted suicide. There's a mission territory here. A mission to proclaim the dignity and worth of every person. A mission to treat every person with a true sense of compassion. Walking with them, even in the midst of suffering. walking with people. So definitely read this article that's in your bulletins again, on the blue sheet. You know, we have a mission territory right here in this country. A mission to proclaim peace. A mission to proclaim Jesus Christ. And our world is crying out for peace. It's crying out for mercy. And we've encountered the one who brings that. How amazing is that? We've encountered the God who brings mercy. And just like the 70, he now commissions us to go and to proclaim that kingdom. He says, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And it has. So now we have a mission to proclaim that kingdom. We are the 70. All of us here. We are 70.